الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلوات الله البر الرحيم، والملائكة المقربين على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, after we mentioned about al-riba, the usurious gain, and how does it happen, inshallah ta'ala we'll move on to talk about some of the forbidden bay'ah, selling. Some of the forbidden selling. Because not every selling is permissible. Not every selling is valid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ, meaning that the selling that is permissible is a specific one, which is the one that satisfies the conditions and the integrals. So every accountable person is obligated to know about the permissible selling before getting engaged in any type of transaction. If he wants to buy or sell, he has to learn what is Islamically acceptable. Because many people these days, they get engaged in different types of selling without even learning what is permissible and what is not permissible. That's very dangerous. Before you get engaged in any type of transaction, you must learn first the selling that is halal Islamically. The scholars of Islam mentioned that it is unlawful, haram, to sell what one has not received. To sell what one has not received. So among the prohibited selling, prohibited types of selling, is for one to sell what one has not received yet. This includes all kinds of items, food and otherwise. When you are considered Islamically that you received the item, for instance, if you go to a shop and that shop is selling jackets, and he's hanging the jackets in the shop or putting them on the shelves, for instance, if you like one of them and you say to the shopkeeper, for instance, I want to buy this one, how much? And he says that, they say $100. Say, okay, I now buy it off you. And that one said, okay, I now sell it to you. And he gave him the money. Now, in order for this person to be considered Islamically as received that item, is when the shopkeeper hands in this jacket to that person, to the buyer. So when he is considered that he received it, because it is something that is usually given to other people by handing in this item to them, once he hands in this item to him, Islamically he is considered as the one who received the item. Now before he received it, before he takes it from the shopkeeper, he's not allowed to sell it. For instance, if he paid the money, but it's still on the shelf in the shop, another person came in and said, how much is that one? Now the buyer, the one who bought it from the shopkeeper, said to that person, I'll sell it to you for 120 20, 130, let us say, and that says, okay, I'll buy it of you. In that case, he cannot sell it to him because he hasn't received it yet. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith forbade one from selling the food before receiving it. Before receiving it. That means you buy food of someone, then you want to buy that food to someone else. Now, before you receive that food, you are not allowed to sell it to someone else. You have to receive it first. Let us say you went to a shop and you found bags of rice, let us say. And you purchased 20 bags, 50, or wheat, bags of wheat. They are still in that person's store. Even if you go, you find another person who would be ready to buy these bags of you, you are not allowed to sell them before you receive them. How would you receive these bags? When you transport them from the store of the first owner to your store. Or you might take them outside his store, then you can sell them. Put them outside his shop, that means you received them. Now you are allowed Islamically to sell them. These are very important and critical issues that many people would ignore, unfortunately. It happens a lot. Let us say now, you know, Australia exports wheat. If someone exports wheat from here to, for instance, let us say, Indonesia. Now, the buyer in Indonesia is expecting you to deliver the wheat for him on that particular day. Then that person who bought them off you had some agents who are ready to buy off him, but they are in different places. Usually what some people would do, they would call the person in Australia, for instance, they would tell him, we want you to take the wheat direct to that place. So they already sold them before they received them. This is Islamically haram, unlawful. In the hadith, نَهَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَنْ بَيْعِ الطَّعَامِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسْتَوْفَى, meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade one to sell the food before he receives it. Abdullah ibn Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I see everything other than food is like food in this case. So whether it is food or not food, any other item, you are not allowed to sell it before you receive it. Now, for instance, you want to buy a flat of someone. Now, you purchase a flat of someone. Before he gave you the keys, you haven't received the keys yet. Now, in order to receive it, he has to take all his luggage and belongings, furniture, whatever that belongs to him. He has to take him outside the flat and he has to give you the keys. In that case, you received it. If you haven't received the keys, even if another person came, as you know, let us say in the auction, you purchased the flat and you won the auction. After you won, another person came to me and said to you, I want to buy it off you. I'll give you 10,000 more. So you purchased it for 200,000, let's say. He said, I'll give you 210,000, for instance. You haven't received the keys. You would say to that person, I bought it off you, so I sold it to this person. I want you to make the papers in his name. So you sold it before you received it. This is Islamically invalid. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us from selling food or any other item before we receive it. Another thing, another type of forbidden selling is to sell meat in exchange of a living animal. And also this is mentioned in the hadith. You cannot sell meat, sliced meat, in exchange for a living animal. Let us say, for instance, you have 3 kilograms of lamb already chopped off, sliced. You have meat. Another person has a chicken that is alive. Chicken that is alive. Then he says to you, would you like sell the amount of meat you've got, the 3 kilograms, let us say, for this chicken, living chicken? This type of selling is forbidden as well. So you are selling meat for a living in exchange for a living animal. This is haram. It doesn't matter if it is of the same type of meat or different. For instance, you cannot sell, 50 kilograms of lamb for a living lamb. Sheep. You cannot do this. You cannot sell 200 kilograms of beef, sliced beef and minced, for a living cow, for instance. You are not allowed to do this. So whether of the same type of meat or different, this is forbidden, and this is also mentioned in the hadith. Also, among the forbidden selling is for one debt for another debt. To sell one debt for another debt. This is Islamically forbidden. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, naha an bay' al-kali' bil-kali', meaning that to sell a debt for another debt. Let us say, for instance, I borrowed of you $1,000, for instance. I borrowed $1,000 of you. And we made a date. The due date is 1st of September, 2008. Then, I lent another person $1,000 that is due on the 1st of June. I cannot say in this case to this person, the one that I took from him money, that is due on 1st of September, I sell you the debt that I owe you in exchange for the debt that that person owes me. So I'm selling a debt for another debt. This is Islamically not permissible. However, the scholars of Islam said, if this is a case where the debt is due now, we are sitting in one session, now it's the due date that I have to give you the $1,000 that I took from you. It is the due date that I have to take, that I take the $1,000 of the other person. Because now it's due, this debt is due and the other debt is due, and we are sitting in the same session, we are allowed in this case to sell this debt for that debt. They receive in the same session, it is done in the same session, and both debts are due. Islamically, this is valid. But to sell debt for a debt, both are not due, this is Islamically forbidden. Also, it is forbidden to sell what one does not own or is not authorized to sell. This is in Arabic, is called bay' al-fuduli, the one who is not authorized to sell and he is selling without being appointed by the real owner of these items, let us say. He sells his items. He's not allowed to. And in this case, you have to be careful. And because it happens, you might visit your friend and he has a shop and he's selling. Let us say he's selling items, each item for 10 bucks, for instance. Each item. Watches, let us say. Each watch for 10 bucks, for instance. As he was selling, he received a phone call. He started talking. Then another person came and he said, how much? So you say $10. Okay, this is $10. You take $10 off that person, you give him a watch. Who appointed you to sell on the owner's behalf? No one appointed you. So you put yourself in that position to sell on behalf of the owner. This is Islamically forbidden. You know what's the judgment Islamically if that happens? The scholars of Islam said, if the owner came, says, what happened? And you tell him, I sold one watch for you for $10. And he says, I don't accept this. I don't want you to sell. Who told you to sell? I didn't appoint you. Then you are Islamically obligated to do what? Take this dollars, $10, and chase the buyer. Try to find him. Give him his $10 back. Take the item off him and bring it back to the owner. But the scholars said, if the owner says to you, look, I'll activate this setting. I'll activate it. I'll pass it. I'll accept it. Then you don't have to go and purchase that person. To chase that person, give him the $10 back and get the item back. No, you don't have to do this. The setting is valid in that case, but you are still sinful because in the first place, you acted on that person's behalf without his permission. This is haram. This is haram. Also, a person might be in charge of someone's money, like an orphan, for instance. A person might be in charge of an orphan's money. Say he's acting like a manager for his money. And he is the one who is managing all his finances, for instance. In that case, that person would try to sell and buy of his money to make sure he's making the best profit for the orphan. So if they appoint him in charge of the money of that orphan, he might, let us say, find this very beneficial for the orphan, he might do it. He might purchase something, sell something, just to make sure that orphan is benefiting in that case, because he is in charge. But if there is one that is not in charge, he's not allowed to sell. So first he has to ask for his permission. Other people might do something also that is haram. They would sell for themselves. So the one person will act as the seller and the buyer at the same time. And this is Islamically unlawful. How is that, for instance? He might say to him, to that person, I authorize you to act on my behalf and sell these items. You started selling, now you are authorized. You are not acting without being authorized. You are authorized now to act on that person's behalf, on the owner's behalf, to sell these items. As you are selling them, let us say, you liked one of them, so you wanted to purchase it. What you do, you put it in your pocket, as some people do. You take money out of your pocket and you put them in the drawer. So in that case, what happened in that case? Tell me. He acted as the seller on behalf of the owner. At the same time, he acted as the buyer. So he bought of himself. He bought the item of himself. This is Islamically invalid. Because there is one integral missing of the proper setting. If you can remember when we talked about the proper setting, we said we must have a seller and buyer. According to Imam Shafi'i, both must be pubescent, both must be sane, with any, like with other conditions as well, and they must have the verbal consent, verbal exchange of words. When they say, I sell you, I now sell you this item for that amount of money, you say, I now buy it off you for that amount of money. That's called the exchange, the verbal exchange. So here, where is he? There's one missing. So there's seller and buyer. And here we have only one person. So one condition is missing. One integral of this selling is missing that renders such selling as invalid. And this happens as well a lot. Also among the forbidden selling is to sell what one did not see. And according to a saying of a Shafi'i, if the merchandise was described, then this selling would be allowed. Now to sell something that you cannot see, either both the seller and the buyer didn't see it, or one of them didn't see it, then this is Islamically unlawful. If you have a box, inside the box there is a mobile phone. Now it could be Nokia. What's the first Nokia? Came to the market? The first one? The one like the CB, man, the old one? Very big, with big antenna, the first one? It could be that one that would worth maybe $5. It could be the latest one that would worth $1,000. You don't know. There is a mobile phone inside that box. You didn't see it. The owner didn't see it. If he says to you, I sell you the Nokia that is inside this box for that amount of money, and you say, I accept, I buy off you for that amount of money, but you didn't see it, this type of selling is invalid. This type of selling is invalid. You have to see it. Now, if you, for instance, let us say, for instance, I visited you one day, and I saw like a mobile phone or your car at home. I saw it, you showed it to me. Then after a few days, you said to me, look, would you buy my car? Now, at the time of conducting the contract, the car is not there. The merchandise is not there. But I already saw it before, a few days ago. Here, in that case, that type of selling would be valid, because I saw it already. But the scholars, listen here. The scholars said, if the item that I saw usually will be damaged, corrupted during that period of time, then we cannot sell it. Let us say, for instance, I visited you, you opened the fridge, you showed me cake, that you have cake inside, or let us say any type of vegetables inside the fridge. So I saw them. Then after 2-3 weeks, you say to me, would you buy off me the vegetables inside my fridge? Now, most likely, they are ruined now, damaged. So in that case, we cannot conduct that type of selling. We have to see it. Otherwise, imagine, for instance, why is that condition in our religion? So people won't have dispute between each other. If they follow the rules of the religion, they won't have any dispute. Imagine in such case, if I say, yeah, I would buy them off you, then when I do, I go to take them, I see them already ruined. Then we start having a fight. If we follow the rules of the religion, then we won't have any problem. Now, what about, you know, like some people now, they would purchase canned food. Could be meat, could be noodles, for instance, could be something else, canned food. Now, the owner didn't see him. He didn't open the can, so he didn't see him. The one who is buying didn't see them. So the owner didn't see him, the seller and the buyer didn't see him. What happens in that case? Some scholars said that type of selling is invalid. They said in order for such a selling to be valid, you need to open it. Open the can, see the food inside. If you like it, you buy it. If you don't like it, you say, no, I don't want it. And imagine that would happen these days. If you say, no, I don't want it, say, maybe he would smash you with that can. He won't accept it. So some other scholars, like according to Imam Shafi'i and others, they said, if there is description on that can, that description would make the thing that is inside it known to you. So it's not an unknown object now or item. It says, let us say, 200 grams of hummus. And the chickpeas, hummus. It contains sour, it contains salt, and these are the ingredients, for instance. And if they know like the amount, let us say that 50 grams, 2 grams, 3 grams, whatever, everything is specified. The specifications for that item are mentioned clearly on it, so you know what exactly you're buying. Some scholars said you are allowed to buy it in that way. Now, the scholar said, if he wants to sell you something, if you want to purchase something, buy something of someone, that person gave you the description of it, and the description was very clear, but you didn't see it. Now, he knows it because he's the owner. He sold it to you. The scholar said, you are allowed to buy it in that way after the description, but you still have the choice of either going ahead with the selling or stopping that selling when you see that item. I can say to you, for instance, I've got in my house a computer, desktop, and that desktop is, the specifications are such and such. 200 gigabyte hard disk, the memory is, let us say, 2 gig RAM. And I give you all the specifications for that computer. And you say, okay, and I want to sell it for $500. I would say, oh, that's beautiful. I'll buy it of you. So I gave you the specifications. You knew about it now. It's not unknown to you. Then you gave me the money. You went to take it. You tried it. It's not 2 gig RAM. It's 1.5, for instance. So you found something different. In that case, you are allowed to say, no, I purchased it from you with the specifications that you mentioned. I found out it's not the same. So I don't want it. Then I have to return the money to you. I don't say to you here, no, sorry, the sale is done. I have to return it to you. Because you saw the description are not the same as the ones that I told you about. That's the judgment regarding this item. So some scholars made it very easy regarding these specifications. Imagine these days, if you want to buy something, most of the food or what you want to buy now is either bagged or canned, so you can't see what is inside. All what you do is you read the specifications and the ingredients. That's all what you do these days. So that saying of the scholars made it easy for you. Some people might say to you, like, listen to this, I adhere to one scholar. So I follow Shafi'i. I don't take with the other three schools of thought, Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali. Another person might say to you, I'm Hanafi. I don't take with Shafi'i or Maliki or Ahmad. Those people who say something like this are in fact taken with other schools of thought, but while not knowing that they are doing so. Because many of the transactions these days are not conducted according to one school of thought. Like I told you now, I gave you one saying of the scholars regarding the cans. So you might be saying, no, I follow that imam. Yeah, but that imam said you have to open the can. Are you doing this when you purchase a like canned food, for instance? He would say, no. So you didn't take with the saying of this imam. You followed another imam. He followed another imam. So the four schools of thought are on the right path. Shafi'i, Malik, Ahmad, Abu Hanifa. We do not say about any of them that he is on the wrong path. No. But I might be following Shafi'i in most of my dealings. I might be following Shafi'i. Another person might be following Imam Abu Hanifa. That doesn't make any difference between this person and that person. Here, for instance, we come to the mosque here, and some people who follow Hanafi mazhab also come to this mosque. We pray together. In Ramadan, you know, Imam Shafi'i prays witr, two rak'at separate, then one also separate. So he doesn't join the three rak'at together. That's according to Shafi'i. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, no, they pray witr like Maghrib prayer. So three rak'at without separating between the two and the one with Assalamu alaikum. So they pray three rak'at as you pray Maghrib, the witr. Shafi'i prays two rak'at, then one rak'ah. So you finish witr by one rak'ah. That's according to Shafi'i radiallahu anhu. When it comes to that thing, you can follow Shafi'i. The other person might can follow Abu Hanifa. Or he might say, I want to pray by myself because I want to pray three rak'ahs, like without separating between the two and the one. So you are allowed to do this or that. There's no problem. In the past, Muslims were strongly united. They had strong bonds between them, and they had the different schools of thought. You know, the Caliph Umar bin Abdul Aziz, radiallahu anhu, may Allah raise his rank, was a strong Caliph. He was a righteous Muslim. He was a scholar and mujtahid, Umar bin Abdul Aziz. At his time, people asked him, why don't you make all people follow one mazhab? Because at his time, there were people following different mazhabs. They said to him that, and he said, no, let them stay as they are. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمُ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانُ وَإِذَا اجْتَهَدَ فَأَخْطَأَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ. When the highly ranked scholars, person al-mujtahideen, make ijtihad, and they try to deduce the judgment of the religious texts from the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet, they deduce the judgment, they find it out, they work out, and they find the judgment. If they are right, they have two ajr. So the ajr is doubled. The thawab, the reward is double. But if they do so, and they won't try it in there, like deducing of that judgment, they are not sinful. The Prophet said, فَلَهُ ajr. They will have one reward. So a specific amount of reward. The other one who was right would have that reward doubled. And at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, listen to this. At the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sent a group of the companions to Bani Qurayza. Bani Qurayza, one of the non-believer tribes at that time. And the Prophet said to them, do not pray al-Asr unless you reach Bani Qurayza. Now listen to that saying. He said, do not pray al-Asr unless you reach Bani Qurayza. They went. On the way, it was like the time of al-Asr was about to be over, to pass. The sun is about to set. They split into two groups. One group said, we have to pray al-Asr. The other group said, no, the Prophet said to us, do not pray al-Asr unless you reach Bani Qurayza. That group said, and we follow the Prophet. Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you to do, you should do. And whatever the Prophet told you not to do, you shouldn't do. So we follow the Prophet. The other group said, but when the Prophet said, do not pray al-Asr unless you reach Bani Qurayza, he didn't mean, even if the sun is going to set, let the Asr pass and do not pray. He didn't mean that. He meant, hurry up try to make al-Asr while you are already in Bani Qurayza's land. So they made a different interpretation for the saying of the Prophet. This person is mujtahid, the other one is mujtahid. So two people made ijtihad. A group prayed, a group didn't pray. They continued their way. After they reached Bani Qurayza, those who didn't pray, prayed. When they came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who prayed told the Prophet about what happened. They both came to the Prophet. The Prophet said to the one who prayed, "Anta asabta." You were right in what you did. Then he looked at the other one and said, "Wa anta asabta." You were right as well. So he didn't say to that person, "You've done the right thing," and the other one, "No, you've done the wrong thing." That one made ijtihad, that one made ijtihad. So both are not sinful in that case. Because they tried to work it out, to follow what the Prophet ﷺ told them. That's why they are not sinful. So in such cases here, when we mention that Abu Hanifa said such and such, Malik said such and such, Shafi'i said such and such, now all of them, we follow all of them. And we can take with the saying of a Shafi'i, or the saying of Abu Hanifa, or the saying of Malik or Ahmad ibn Hanbal. We can follow any of them. Also, among the forbidden selling is for one to sell what cannot be delivered. What cannot be delivered, for instance, you had a camel, the camel ran away, you cannot retrieve it, it escaped. You cannot say to another person, I sell you the camel that I had, which escaped now, I don't know where it is, but anyway, I'm going to sell it to you. You are not allowed to do this. You had a beautiful bird, canary, for instance, inside the cage. You liked it. And someone said to you, "I want to buy it off you." You said, "No, I don't want to sell it." Then the following day, you are trying to feed it. It flew away. Then you call him. You say, "Now come, I want to sell it to you." But it flew away. How could you get it now? You cannot get it to give it, to deliver it to that person. Such type of selling is invalid. You might have a horse, and the horse escaped in the bush, and you can't retrieve it, you cannot catch it, you cannot sell it. But if you know of yourself, let's say it is inside that place, and you know yourself you can get it, you are allowed to sell it in that case. Or let us say, for instance, you purchased some goods from overseas, then at the port, they didn't give you the approval to release them. They are on hold. Someone else said to you, "I'll buy them off you," and he knows from himself that he is able to release them. In that case, it is fine. As long as one is able to, to deliver the goods, and the other one is able to receive them, that type of selling would be valid. If you are fishing, let us say, and you catch a big fish, and that person said to you, "I'll buy it off you for that amount of money," and you said, "Okay, I'll sell it to you," and as you are trying to, for instance, give it to him, you dropped it in the water. It started swimming. You said to him, "Okay, I'll sell it to you." This type of selling is invalid. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in general forbade us from conducting a transaction that contains gharar. In Arabic, it's called gharar. Naha Rasulullah an bay' al-gharar. Gharar means the risky selling. The risky selling. The selling that puts either the seller and the buyer at risk, or one of them at risk. That's why in that case, it is forbidden. One of them is one of the examples of al-gharar, to sell the unborn babies of camels, for instance. Not normal babies, no. Like they are still in the womb. And you know, like they used to do something like this. Now the camel, the female camel, is pregnant. And a person would say, I buy what is inside this womb for that amount of money. This is invalid because they might die. At birth, they might die. So there is a risk. Here the risk. And maybe that person, the owner, thought it's one baby and it might give four babies. He would regret. So the buyer benefited in that case, but the seller didn't get benefited. That type of selling has a risk. Has a risk. So to sell the unborn animal babies is forbidden Islamically. Also, to sell the milk that is inside the udder of a cow, for instance. You don't know how much that person would get of milk from that cow. You say, I buy all the milk that you would get from this cow after you milk it. You don't know how much you're going to get. This is called bay' al-gharar. Also among bay' al-gharar is to sell the fruits before they grow and before they become ripened. This is invalid. This is haram. As you know, in Lebanon, they do something similar. A person would say, let us say a person, you might have an orchard, for instance, big garden, and you have, let us say, 300 trees of olives. A person would say, okay, I'll buy of you the olives that will come out in the next season. And you give him $10,000, and he will say, okay, I accept. Now, what's going to happen in the next season, you don't know. Insects might come, the locusts, you know, like a grasshopper, the locusts, the big ones, because they came to Lebanon in the past, and they ate the trees, the leaves and the fruits. So they might come and they might eat them. You'll be like at risk in that case, and you lose your money. That such a type of selling is Islamically forbidden. And this is called bay' al-gharar. Also, for instance, to sell the fish in the sea. This is forbidden. In Arabic, they say as a proverb. شبيقولوا بالعربية حج بيقولوا عم تبيعنا سمك ببحره. Yeah, they sell him fish in the sea. He won't be able to get him. That means it's very risky. That's what they mean. It's very risky. They said him, بدك تجينا اشتري سمك ببحره. And it's very risky. That's why it is forbidden Islamically. But if you have a small pool, let us say, small pool, and you have the fish inside, or aquarium, and you have in the aquarium, you have the fish, and you buy one of them, you are allowed because it's easy to get them. You know, in some shops you go and you say, I want to buy this one. They are alive. So you buy the fish you want. So you are allowed to do this. That's Islamically allowed because he is able to deliver it to you. Also among the forbidden selling is to sell what has no benefit. When we say what has no benefit, we're talking about the religiously. There is a considerable benefit religiously. Because some people might say, yeah, there is a benefit in that thing. Now, that benefit might not be considered. So you're going to check if religiously that benefit is considered or not. So to sell an item that has no physical or religious benefit is Islamically forbidden. Like, for instance, the burnt bread. You know, the burnt bread that became black. If you are, let us say, toasting some bread, and you burn the bread, whether with the toaster or in the oven, like you buy the pizza, oregano pizza or something. Sometimes the baker might burn the bread. That black thing is harmful to the body. If you eat it, don't think you are zahid. You are trying to show you are very humble, so you eat, even if the bread is burnt, so you eat it. It's haram to eat it. Why? Because it's harmful to your body. You are not allowed to eat it. If you want to sell, let us say you burn them, you want to sell them, there is no benefit in it. There is no benefit. Even for instance, let us say, see that white mouse? They consider it as a pet. You go to some shops, they have pets, and they sell them, white mouse. And they sell it. It's haram. If they say, yeah, there is benefit in it, what's the benefit? Yeah, I put it in the cage, I put a wheel for it. So as it's rolling, 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 it amuses me, for instance. Now, this benefit is not considered Islamically. It's not considered Islamically. Selling poison. That's a good question. To sell poison. Now, to sell poison to another person, to poison another person is haram. But to sell poison to a person to kill the rats, that's a considerable benefit. Like, for instance, elephants. You are allowed to sell elephants because you can use them. For fighting in the war, they used to use them. In the battles in the past, they used to use elephants. But to sell a lion, you are not allowed to sell a lion. There is no benefit. To sell a dog, for instance, you are not allowed. The Prophet ﷺ in the hadith, نَهَا عَنْ ثَمَنِ الْكَلْبِ نَهَا عَنْ ثَمَنِ الْكَلْبِ. You are not allowed to sell it. Even if you want to have it for guarding, or for the, let us say, the three reasons that the Prophet ﷺ said, for hunting, if you are hunting, and for guarding, and for, as a guide for the cattle, they call it cattle dog, for that purpose. For these three purposes, you are allowed to have a dog, but you are not allowed to buy it. Now, how would you get it? Like a person might say to you, keep it. Even it's not something the scholar said that you can own. So the ownership is invalid in something like this. You cannot own it. You cannot sell it. You can take care of it. You can take care of it and use it as a guard, for instance. But the dog that is suitable for guarding, not that little one, they take it now for fantasy, for instance. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that the angels would not enter a house that has a 3D picture, 3D picture for like three-dimensional object for a living thing like a human or animal. The angels wouldn't go inside that house. And if there is dog inside that house, angels wouldn't go inside this house. So keep that in your mind. And make sure to make your house filled with tranquility. And you want angels. All the stuffed toys, battery operated, robots, whatever, but they are in the shape of a human being or an animal. And they are in a way that if they are alive, if they are real, they would live. Then that's forbidden. But sometimes you might have half of it. Let us say half of it. For instance, let us say, you know, the tissue box, for instance. There is a type of box, decorated box, where you put the tissue box inside it. Let us say on top of it there is only head of a duck. It's just a head. Now a head of a duck, if it's real, it won't live in that way. It doesn't survive. A head by itself, so you are allowed to keep it. But some people might have bracelets, and with the bracelets, especially ladies, you got to be careful when you know, purchase something like this. They might have 3D objects like dolphins or a snake. It might be in the shape of a snake, the bracelet itself in a shape of a snake. This is haram, forbidden. So, and if you have anything like this inside your house, then angels wouldn't go inside. And don't take it so easy regarding the stuffed toys and teddy bears and rabbits, bunnies, whatever. Don't take it so easy, because angels wouldn't go inside, that's number one. Devils would go inside. Devils would go inside these stuffed toys and teddy bears. They like them. And every time I keep on saying this, just to remind you, subhanAllah, Allah supports us with what we're saying, with words from those who had experience. I told you from before, they put on the 60 Minutes, that was about maybe now more than 1 year ago, they put on it that a lady was possessed by many devils. She said 40 go inside her. And they told her, do you communicate with them? She said yes. And she's Anglo-Saxon, like she's not from Arabic background. And they said, how do you communicate with them? And she said, through these teddy bears. She had in her room 2-3 shelves filled with teddy bears. She communicates with them through these teddy bears. It happens. They go inside these stuffed toys. That's why do not keep them inside your house. Throw them away. Throw them away. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, saw a person depicting, but 3D, like 3D objects of animals. And he said, don't do this. And he mentioned a hadith that cursed are the ones who does something like this, that do something like this. And on the day for judgment, they will be asked to blow the souls inside these objects and they won't be able to do so. That's mentioned in the hadith. Then that person said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, this is my job. This is my job. I sell them, I get money. He said, if you want to draw anything, draw a picture of a tree, for instance. But do not draw a picture of a living thing and you sell it. You are not allowed Islamically to sell it. Even if you, like Islamically, there's no benefit in selling the photos. If you take a photo of a person, you want to sell it, you are not allowed to sell it. There's no benefit in it. Plus, it's a picture. You are not allowed to sell it. According to some scholars, even if it's not a 3D picture, it's 2D, according to Imam Shafi'i, it is still haram. However, according to Imam Malik, it is disliked to have it. But you cannot sell it. You cannot sell them. So, also, for instance, to sell little insects such as ants, you are not allowed. Even if you collect the ants, you put them in a box, you want to sell them in the market, you are not allowed. Even if you want to sell one rice, just one piece of rice, you are not allowed to, because there is no benefit in it. Or 2 pieces of rice, you are not allowed to. Also, some insects might have benefits, such as the leeches. You know the leeches? They have benefit in them. What do? They suck out the bad blood. So if you have clots in your leg, for instance, blood clots, for instance, you bring these leeches, you put them on your leg. What they do? They suck out that damaged blood. They suck him out. Subhanallah, they only take out the damaged one. And you see the blood is coming out of your leg, but don't worry, it's very beneficial. They use them for treatment even. They use them for treatment. So you can buy them for that purpose, because there is a benefit in them in that case. So we'll stop up to here, inshallah. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.